So, Lord, we ask that you would just minister to each one here by your Spirit, according to what he wants to speak into each heart. Lord, we're not sufficient to eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things you want to communicate to those that love you. And you do that by your Spirit. And you've given us the word that we might know you in spirit and life. So just minister to each one here. They've come for you, Lord. They came for you. So let them meet with you and let them partake of you by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, and we're just going to read familiar verses. These are verses that Jesus himself wrote as a letter to the church in Ephesus, and it is, like I said, real familiar to us, but the Word of God is ever giving, ever living, and ever able to feed us Christ, the living one in us. So let's start in verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the middle of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, how you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tried them that say they are apostles, and they're not, and you found them liars. You have borne and have had patience, and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against you, because you have left first love. Remember, therefore, from where you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Okay, and that's just the main portion that we're going to look at. And I'd like to just now, slowly, and not slowly, but just look at some specific words within those first few verses in Ephesians chapter 2, the letter from Jesus written by him to the church in Ephesus. And the very first word is, it's in verse 2. Oh, no, it's in verse 4. Chapter 2 and verse 4, Jesus says, nevertheless, I have something against you because you have left your first love. And I guess it's the word I that really just touched my heart by the Spirit when I was reading through it this morning, that Jesus wasn't saying, this is right, this is wrong, this is improve here, it would be correct. You know, it was personal. It was something that was on his heart, kind of like when we do our prayers in the beginning, that it's all about Jesus. What's his need, his heart, his burdens, his desires. I have something. I have something. I have something. Something in my heart. And you know, at that first word, I, it could just catch us, capture our attention to go, oh Lord, you have something on your heart right now. Something that's affected you in your person. And I have to know what that is. I must hear what you want to communicate from your heart to me. Because he wrote it almost like personally to the church in Ephesus. He wrote it to them. So it's very, very personal to them. And it's very, very personal from his heart. And it's something, we think of the word against in a negative, but it's something that has affected him from them. And it is that you've left your first love. And we're going to look at a couple of these words just briefly. But before we do, I want to just touch briefly on the word love. We have, over our years, and we've got many of them together in our journey of knowing Jesus, we have looked at the word love in the bride sense and made it a kind of an emotion or a romantic feeling or a mushy kind of passion that that we have towards Jesus. But as we continue and have continued to know and grow and seek his heart in these things, we found that the love he's looking for is not a mushy, passionate, emotional, romantic thing, but it's a wife who has his kind of love, agape love, a love that is after his kind, a love that is the way what he is in his nature, that lays its life down. By this ye perceive the love which is of God, God's love, because you lay your lives down, because he laid his life down for you, and because you lay your life down for one another. So we're not talking mushy emotions and romantic feelings and passion for Jesus on a certain sense realm. We're talking about one after his kind and lamb nature that loves as he loves, a nature that is after his kind. Okay? So you've left your first love. How do we leave love? That's the first question. How do you do that? Well, a definition in a common dictionary is you go away from, you desert, you abandon. It's a verb. Leaving is an action word, and it's a choice that takes action, and it chooses to go away from, to go onto something else. You're leaving. And leaving really is the activity of going away from something. Coming unto would be the verb or the activity of coming unto something else. But you have left love. So there's that leaving. But in leaving, the next question that came to my heart is, what are we going to? When we're leaving love, what are we going to? And in the Ephesian church, they were going to works and patience and not bearing with the evil and laboring and not, you know, there's always so many things that are right, that are, you know, if you will, they're godly. They're the works that maybe are defined by what the church should be doing in certain realms. And patience, I mean, it's a virtue. I mean, it should be a nature of Jesus' virtue coming out of us as fruit. It's not bearing with evil, dealing with things that are, that's not a true apostle. That is not, you know, lined up with the truth of what Christ should be. And this is not right. And laboring, working hard, and not fainting. And I don't think Jesus is being critical. I believe he's grateful. And in a certain sense, even honoring those things. But loves his body, his bride, and which should be relating and will be relating to him as wife if they continue, enough to point out this is fine, but there's more. And even in the intimacy of this letter, this hasn't reached my heart. Yes, it's commendable, your patience, your laboring and not fainting, you're yet dealing with this and that, but it hasn't reached my heart. In fact, I have something against you because you've left love on a certain front. And these things have been more important to you than me. Not in an affectionate, emotional way. Me in an eternal, one after my kind way, as a lamb. These things have taken precedence over first love, over me. Remember, Jesus is called the Lamb 20-something times. I mean, he's mostly referred to as the Lamb throughout the entire book of Revelation, which is where these scriptures are found. I think he's referred to as Jesus Christ once or twice in the whole book. And why are we bringing that up now? Because when he says you have left me, or you've left your first love, I mean, that's the Lamb talking. It's a Lamb that was slain. And every time the bride or the wife is really defined in this book, it's the wife of the Lamb. It's not just the wife of her lover, her beloved, my beloved spouse, she's married to him in his eternal nature of selfless giving. She's joined with him there in his nature. Loved him there, received him there, with him there. And, you know, let's face it, this groom who is a slaughtered, a slain lamb, he has a way about him, doesn't he? He has an approach that is unlike any other being in the universe, any other entity. this Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, the earth. He has a way about him. It's not just that he does things, or he's patient, or he won't bear with evil, or he doesn't faint and keeps going the extra mile. He has a way about him. He has a spirit about him that's unlike anybody else. He has a heart that it's all his own. It's just purity, eternal life. It's God life. It's the Lamb himself. It's him. It's him. It's not what he does, what he says, how he does it, how he says it, where he does it, what he where he says it. It's the himness of it. It's his nature in it. It's that eternal spirit that is his spirit. It's that sacred Lamb heart that is his, and his heart, and his heart alone, and it's him. And being with him and loving that him so much, you take it into yourself and let it live in you, because you love it that much more than your old life. Oh, it changes everything. And but he says, you've left me. But it doesn't say you've left me and fallen into this and that area. You've left me and continued with all the works and all the labors and all the correcting and correct and proper doctrines and corrections. And but I could almost hear him saying, but where's my spirit in that? Where's my nature? And where's us being one nature, one lamb heart, one lamb spirit, one slaughtered lamb way? Where's my wife? Where am I in her as she does all those things? And as she is faithful to all those proper ministry tasks and ordained and official and correct, where is my place there as her life? As her groom, who is her life? And has she even noticed that the candle is no longer lit in her heart? That though she labor and not faint and work and be patient and bear to deal with things properly, that something's grown cold on the inside, and it's not a romantic feeling and a passion for the things that it's a oneness with me and my eternal nature, in my beareth all things, endureth all things. But she can bear all things and patiently do that and still have left him. So again, it's not just the thing we're doing, but is his eternal spirit, is it him in us, the Lamb, specifically the slain Lamb, the nature that gives its life even for its enemies? Is she able to do all those things without him and not even notice? So much so that he has to write a letter from a distant realm, if you will, to the ones he's actually in the midst of, the seven churches, and awaken her to his heart. Awaken her to the real important thing that's going on, which is not the Nicolaitans and the things that are wrong and the labors and the patience and all. That the real important thing is him and him in this way. That he would have one after his kind. That he would have one that would want him in the innermost parts, where he could be himself a lamb giving his life through her. How tender. And so in verse 5, the first portion says, remember therefore from where thou art fallen, repent and do the first works. So the word remember, let's look at that word first. Remember is, in the Webster's dictionary and another dictionary I looked into, says it's a verb. Remember is a verb, an action word, and it says to have in or be able to bring to one's mind in awareness of someone or something that you once saw, knew, and experienced in the past. And it's kind of saying, hey, remember us? Remember when that candle was lit and that altar in your heart was ignited, and the Lamb nature was releasing through you in selfless giving, and it wasn't you imitating, it was me. And you knew that sweet savor that was coming forth was the Spirit of Jesus in you. A savor of life unto life. It was this Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of Christ. But he says, remember where you've fallen. Repent and do the first works. And I thought it interesting that Jesus himself said that this was a fall, that what had happened in the hearts of those in Ephesus, he called it a fall, a falling from his heart, a falling from his face, his desires, his inward purpose and his deep needs. That these were the same words that God used for Lucifer when he turned his focus from God to himself. Thou art fallen are the words that God used to define the fall of Lucifer, the son of the morning, the angel that led the worship services in heaven, the one that was the anointed cherub, fell and became a fallen angel, and he fell. And it's similar words. Thou art fallen. Thou art fallen. But we see the noble tasks, the things that we left Jesus over, these noble tasks, these great godly things that we were doing for him, as vindication for the action of leaving him. But Jesus just sees that he is left alone, unloved, uncovered, while we do these things in his name, but separate from him in his nature. And he needs us in oneness, in the oneness that gives him place in us to be who he is as a lamb. So he says, turn, repent, do those first works, come back to me. What were those first works? That first love, return to the first love. You know, he says that to them. Return, repent, do the first works that first love brought forth. You know, we all know that place. And yeah, maybe for some of us it was emotional and it was just a flood of new life filling our branch in ways we never dreamed possible. Ways of awe and wonder that Jesus was in us. And it's all about Jesus. And it was just him. It wasn't even the things he was doing through us, because we pretty much had nothing to offer and he probably couldn't get that much out. But it was him, and we were with him, and he was in us, and we didn't know much, but we loved him. And you know, he could grow and share his life and who he is and bring us in. And it's sometimes along the way, I know it's true in my life, it's easy to get caught up with issues in the earth and ministries in the earth and things that seem so important to God, but kind of leave him out in the cold. And I'm speaking of myself. I am really speaking of myself and the things the Lord's just dealing, yes, but drawing my heart. You know, I just want him. I want him. I want him the way he needs me. And I thank God for his word and his spirit. And I don't mind him correcting me, because he always does it in love. And he always does it so that I'll return to him and that we can be together in the ways that are eternal and truly in his heart. Ways of the Lamb. Ways of eternal life. And so how wonderful. He cries out, you know, return to me. Return to me. In Jeremiah, he says, return to me over 40 times. He's saying, you know, return to me. This is what I'm saying at the end of this is, return to me. Just, you know, don't lay there and get caught up in depression and self-awareness and thinking about your failures all day. Just turn away from you and those things that are more important than me, and come back just to me, and I'll fill all those things with new life. You know, but it'll be me. It'll be us. And so the very closing verse is in the final portion of verse 5 in Ephesians chapter 2, where he says, "Or else I will come unto you quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place." And I found it interesting that he uses the word, "I will come quickly," because this is the same terminology used by the Spirit and the Bride at the end of the book of Revelation, when it says the Spirit and the Bride cry, "Come, come quickly, Lord, Maranatha." It's the same words that the Spirit and the Bride use to Jesus, the Lamb, the slain Lamb, the groom. It's their heart. "Come quickly, even so, come, Maranatha." But this time, in this verse here we're looking at, Jesus is coming quickly because of the absence of love, rather than the overwhelming presence of love in the Spirit and Bride. And we're not talking emotions again. He comes not to fill his wife, but to remove from the church his candlestick because of no living flame. And of course, that's not his heart. He really wants to reignite that flame and bring forth a new beginning. It has gone out because the love is gone and been replaced with things that mean very little to him in comparison to having her in this way, having her with him as a wife for the Lamb, according to his heart, after his kind, with him in his true and eternal nature. And so, you know, it's a heart cry from Jesus. And he's right there with open arms, wounded, scarred hands, wide open. Say, "Come back to me with all your heart. Don't let these things keep us apart. Let me light that candle. Let me ignite that altar. Let me be who I am, and let it be more than doing this and that in the earth. And let it be me first and foremost. And don't fall down from my spirit and my nature and my heart and my ways to things." And I'm teaching a class this semester on spirit realm, sense realm, and I'll end with this. And it's really easy, and it's especially tempting, to do this with things that are, in our minds, godly. You know, I need to say this, and I need to deal with this, and it's my place to address this, and I should handle this, and I need to do this, and because it's God needs this done, and it's right in the Lord, and it's correct doctrinally. And we set about to deal with the Nicolaitans or to do the labor and not faint and all, but we do it in another spirit than being one with him as his wife, a wife of the Lamb. We just do it. We just deal with it. We just bear with it. But we don't do it by his eternal oneness, Lamb, wife, oneness, by his nature. And so it's devoid of him. In a sense, it misrepresents him to the people that we're trying to help and bless and serve. And we've missed him. It's easy to be drawn into that. I know that I, so goodness me, need the Lord in this way. Pray for me. But if our hearts are so attuned to him every moment that it's about his spirit, you know, we may want to blast the enemies of the cross, and we may want to correct everybody who doesn't have it just right with Christ crucified and the way they approach it. And we may bear long and do the extra mile and all. But if we were so close to him, not just close, but one with him, not just one, but our altar lit by his eternal spirit within us, we may approach it totally different. We may be silent instead of speaking. We may lay down our life and die by his nature in us instead of correcting it. Instead of bearing long with something, we may just die. By the nature of the Lamb in our mortal flesh, we may just die so they have life and not correct anything. The Lamb opens not his mouth. We're ready to correct everything that's off. you know, he's like, where are you, my wife? Why have you left me for that? You know? And we don't want to leave him. We love him, and we want him to have us in the way he needs us. And we want, when he opens his mouth and says, I have something, we want it to say, I have something to rejoice over because we're together in this now, and I'm able to be me in you, and praise God. Oh, my wife, a wife for the Lamb. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for every word you've uttered, every piece of message you've scripted from your heart, given us in your word. Thank you that they don't come from man or messenger, prophet or priest, scribe or writer. They come from your heart, Lord. They come from a person, the one we're joined to and meant to be a wife unto by having his Lamb nature in us. So, Lord, just draw our hearts deeper into that which truly will meet your needs and fulfill your desires and be according to that which you long for through us, Lord Jesus. And though we get caught up in the nobility and diligence and proper right godliness of this and that activity or thing, Father, may we seek in all things to give you preeminence, your spirit, your nature, and your life with us, within us. And we love you, Lord, and we want that love to translate into being a wife to the Lamb, and that you could be the Lamb that was slain, giving your life through us. Daily, Paul said, always bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Always. Always. He was married, Lord. He was joined to the Lamb. It wasn't a temporal thing or a once-in-a-lifetime event. For Paul, it was an always, and always with you, always bearing about in his mortal flesh your Lamb nature, the dying of the Lord Jesus. May it be so with us, Lord. May it be so with us.